Welcome back, everyone, to Vietnam Legal and Investment Insights. We've got a crucial topic to dig into today, one that's super relevant for anyone thinking about or already involved in foreign direct investment here in Vietnam. We're going deep on penalties for FDI enterprises that don't contribute enough capital. You know, really getting this right can make or break your venture here. So if you're a foreign investor, pay close attention.
Absolutely. Playing by the rules from the start is critical.
You know, I was just looking at the latest FDI figures, and it's pretty amazing. I mean, there's been a little dip in registered foreign direct investment, but the amount of money actually being invested is way up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're talking a record high, actually. Over $25 billion disbursed.
Wow. That is a lot of money.
It is.
It really shows that Vietnam's a hot spot for foreign investment. But it also, like, highlights how important it is to get your capital contribution right, you know? It's a fundamental promise you're making to the Vietnamese government when you decide to do business here.
Okay, so let's break this down for our listeners. What exactly is FDI capital contribution?
You can think of it as your entry ticket to the Vietnamese market. It's a way to show the government that you're serious about doing business here. It doesn't have to be just cash, though.
Oh, really?
No. It could be assets, equipment, even like patents or trademarks, which is considered intellectual property.
So it's not just about bringing in a suitcase full of cash. It's more like bringing value.
Exactly.
But like with any good game, there are rules, right?
For sure. And you can find those rules in legal documents like the investment law from 2020 and the enterprise law also from 2020. They set up the whole framework for FDI and they get updates to keep pace with how business works here.
Okay, so we have the big laws. Where do things get down to the nitty-gritty?
That's where the decrees come in. Decrees like number 31 and 122, both from 2021. They're like the fine print. They tell you exactly how to make those capital contributions and what happens if you don't do it right.
That's where I bet it gets interesting. Or maybe a little scary for some investors.
Yeah, a little bit. Avoiding stress is key, though, and that's where understanding these penalties become really important. Let's say you're setting up a company. Usually you have 90 days.
90 days?
Yeah, 90 days starting from when you get your enterprise registration certificate to fully contribute your registered capital.
90 days seems like a decent chunk of time, but I can imagine how things can get complicated.
Oh, they totally can, especially when you're talking about a lot of money, moving assets around, dealing with procedures, you know.
So are those deadlines the same for all types of investments? Like, what if it's not structured as a company?
No, not always. If you're investing through a contract, that time frame is usually something everyone involved agrees on beforehand.
Okay, so there's some wiggle room there. What about if I'm buying shares in a Vietnamese company? Is there that 90-day thing?
No. With shares or direct capital contributions, the transfer needs to happen right away. No waiting around.
All right, different rules for different situations. Got it. But let's get to the point here. What happens if a company just can't meet that capital contribution deadline?
Well, that's when those penalties we talked about come into play. And trust me, you don't want to be dealing with those.
Okay, let's talk penalties. What are we looking at here?
On the administrative side, there are fines. They can vary depending on how serious the violation is.
Uh-huh.
But it's not always just about the money. The authorities can, you know, they can do other things. Like, they could make you change your investment registration certificate. That's a big deal because that document outlines your whole project.
Oh, wow. So they could actually change the terms of your investment. That seems pretty serious.
It definitely can be, especially if it means you have to operate differently than you planned. And here's the real kicker. They could actually make you keep going with the project as you originally planned it, even if you're having issues.
Wait, so even if things change, even if the project isn't, like, financially viable anymore, you might be stuck with it.
Yeah, in some cases, yes. And if that's not enough to make you really pay attention to those capital contribution obligations, think about this. Your entire project could be shut down.
Hold on, they can actually completely shut down the project.
Absolutely. It's the most drastic consequence, but it's definitely a possibility.
Okay.
Let's say you realize you can't meet your commitments. You could voluntarily stop operations. That gives you up to 12 months to try to fix things.
Kind of like hitting the pause button and hoping you can get back on track.
Precisely. But if you can't sort things out within that year or if the authorities can't get in touch with you, well, they can basically just end the whole project.
That's a serious reminder that these regulations are the real deal.
Right.
But how do they even know if a company isn't meeting its obligations? Do they have people going around checking everyone's books?
Sometimes the Department of Planning and Investment or the tax authorities, they might do inspections or, you know, they might hear about it from other businesses. Sometimes it's actually the company itself that reports the violation, sometimes without even realizing it, just as part of regular reporting they have to do.
So it's not just about avoiding getting caught. It's also about being open and proactive about compliance.
Exactly. And if they do find a violation, the process is pretty straightforward.
Okay.
They create something called an administrative violation record.
Uh-huh.
It explains what went wrong and they have to make that record within 2 working days of finding the violation.
So it's a very organized process with everything documented. What's next?
They use that violation record to issue a sanctioning decision. That decision lays out the penalties and what the company needs to do to fix things.
Okay, let's talk about those fixes, those remedial measures. What kind of things might a company have to do?
Well, it depends on the violation. If it's just about not contributing enough capital, they might have to register changes to their charter capital.
What is charter capital for those who might not be familiar with that term?
You can think of it as how much capital a company is officially registered to have.
Okay.
It's basically its financial foundation. So if they don't contribute enough, they need to adjust that charter capital to match what they actually put in.
So it's about making the paperwork reflect the actual money. Are there other measures?
Yeah, they might have to change their investment registration certificate too to show the right capital amount. And if there are certain members or shareholders who didn't pay their share, they might need to go through the process of changing those members or shareholders.
It sounds like a whole process. This is where having legal help could be a lifesaver, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. At Harley Miller, we specialize in helping foreign investors navigate these kinds of situations. We've seen it all, and we can really help you understand the legal stuff and avoid potential problems.
Okay, we'll talk more about Harley Miller later, but let's dive into how companies can prevent these penalties altogether. You mentioned a capital contribution plan. What makes a good one?
Clarity is key. A solid capital contribution plan has to be super detailed. How much are you obligated to contribute? When does it need to be there? Where is that money coming from? Those are the basics that you need to be crystal clear about. Yeah, it can't just be like a rough guess either. It's got to be realistic, you know, thinking about the different phases of your project, what you can afford, and even potential problems you might run into.
So you're saying it's not always the best idea to just contribute all the capital up front?
Not necessarily. Actually, contributing your capital in stages can be a really smart move. It's kind of like building a house.
Okay.
You lay the foundation first, then you build on top of that, right? You don't need all the bricks and everything all at once.
Right. So you match under investments to how your project's moving along.
Exactly. And doing it in stages helps you adapt if things change. Like, let's say your initial market research wasn't quite right and you need to adjust your plan. Having that staged approach gives you some wiggle room to change your investment if you need to.
Makes sense. But what if something unexpected comes up? Delays or extra costs?
That's where contingency plan is crucial. It's like a safety net for your investment.
Okay.
You've got to think ahead, anticipate the problems, and build in a little extra cushion to handle those unexpected costs or delays.
So having some breathing room is really important.
Absolutely. It's all about being proactive, not reactive. You don't want to be scrambling for money when a problem pops up. Having that contingency fund can really make the difference in keeping your project going smoothly.
This is all sounding very strategic. It's not just about, you know, throwing money at the project, but really being smart about it.
It is, for sure. And here's another thing. Don't treat your capital contribution plan like it's set in stone. You need to keep an eye on your progress and make changes as needed.
So it's like checking the map every now and then to make sure you're still heading in the right direction.
That's a great way to put it. And just like your GPS can find you a new route if there's traffic, your plan should be flexible enough to handle those unexpected bumps in the road.
Okay, I'm getting how important a good capital contribution plan is. But let's face it, dealing with the legal and regulatory stuff in Vietnam can be a bit overwhelming. Where does legal expertise fit into all of this?
Having the right legal advice is like having a guide in a new place.
Yeah.
At Harley Miller, we know FDI law inside and out because we've worked with so many investors.
Like having a local Sherpa helping you climb that mountain of regulations.
I like that. We're not just here to point at the rules. We're here to help you understand the subtleties, the gray areas, even the potential problems that can trip up experienced investors.
So it's not just about knowing the rules, but about knowing how they actually work in practice.
Right. And that's where we come in. We can help you set up your investment in a way that minimizes risk, keeps you compliant, and gives you the best chance of success.
So for investors listening who are thinking about jumping into the Vietnam market, what's the one piece of advice you would give them?
Don't try to do it all yourself. The legal stuff in Vietnam can get tricky, and small mistakes can have big consequences. Talk to some legal experts who specialize in FDI right from the start. They can help you avoid costly errors and make sure your investment is set up for success.
Sounds like good advice. And while we're talking about experts, let's remind our listeners about Harley Miller Law Firm and how you can help them navigate these challenges. What are some of the services you offer?
At Harley Miller, we provide a whole range of services designed specifically for foreign investors here in Vietnam. We can help you with everything from setting up your investment structure to drafting contracts, getting your business registered, obtaining the right licenses, and of course, putting together a strong capital contribution plan.
You really cover all the bases. What makes Harley Miller different from other law firms here?
Our team is made up of lawyers who have tons of experience working with foreign investors.
Okay.
We get the unique challenges you face, and we're fluent in Vietnamese and international business, you know?
So you're kind of like a bridge between cultures, helping investors feel confident in the Vietnamese market.
I like that. We're more than just lawyers. We're partners in your success.
It's not just about checking off legal boxes. It's about a relationship built on trust.
Absolutely. That's super important to us at Harley Miller. We're all about giving our clients personalized, proactive advice that gets results.
Like having a trusted advisor right there with you, helping you navigate the Vietnamese market.
Exactly. That's what we aim to be for every client.
So for anyone listening who's thinking, okay, I need some expert help with my Vietnam investment, how can they get in touch with Harley Miller?
Our website is hmlf.vm. It's got tons of information about what we do, who we are, and how we work with our clients.
What if someone wants to have a more direct conversation?
We encourage everyone to reach out directly. You can call us at +84 937 21585. We're happy to chat, answer questions, and talk about your specific needs.
Great, so there you have it. If you're serious about investing in Vietnam, don't leave anything to chance. Reach out to Harley Miller Law Firm and let their expertise guide you.
We're here to help you make your Vietnam investment a success.
All right, I think we've covered a lot today. We talked about why FDI is so important in Vietnam, the laws around capital contributions, what happens if you don't follow the rules, and some things investors can do to stay compliant.
And we emphasized how crucial it is to have legal experts like our team at Harley Miller to help you navigate everything.
Definitely. I think anyone listening who's thinking about investing in Vietnam now has a much clearer picture of what's involved.
I hope so. And hopefully they also feel more confident about taking the right steps to make their investment a success.
Well, on that note, I think it's time to wrap up this deep dive. Before we go, though, I want to leave our listeners with a final thought. We focused a lot on the legal side of FDI, but investing in another country is about more than just rules. It's about building relationships, understanding the culture, and making sure your business benefits both you and the Vietnamese economy.
That's a really great point, and it's something we're passionate about at Harley Miller. We're not just lawyers, we're business partners who want to help our clients succeed in Vietnam.
So as you start your journey with FDI in Vietnam, remember, success takes more than legal knowledge. It takes a real understanding of the country, its people, and how business is done here.
It takes a willingness to learn, adapt, and build lasting relationships, too.
Great advice. Thanks for joining us today, and thanks for all our listeners for tuning in. We'll see you next time for another deep dive into Vietnam's legal and investment world.
See you then.
So for our listeners who might be feeling a little overwhelmed by all this information, let's break it down to the essentials. What are the key takeaways you want every foreign investor in Vietnam to remember?
Okay, well, first off, know the rules. Get familiar with things like the investment law, the enterprise law, and those decrees we talked about earlier. They're the foundation for pretty much everything related to foreign investment here.
Do your homework. Don't just assume you'll figure it out as you go.
Right. And second, have a really solid capital contribution plan. It should be detailed, phased, and have a plan B for when things go wrong. Think of it as your roadmap to success here. Don't cut corners on it.
Plan. What's the last takeaway?
Don't be afraid to ask for help. The legal stuff here can be complicated, and it's okay to need some guidance. Talk to lawyers or firms that specialize in FDI. They can help you avoid making expensive mistakes and make sure your investment is structured the right way.
That's good advice. And speaking of expert guidance, let's remind our listeners that Harley Miller Law Firm is here to support them every step of the way. We've got a team of experienced lawyers ready to provide those insights you need.
Exactly. We can help you understand the regulations, develop a strong capital contribution plan, and set up procedures that'll give you peace of mind.
And most importantly, we can help you achieve your business goals in Vietnam while staying on the right side of the law.
Absolutely.
You can find us online at hmls.vn or call us at +84 937 21585. We're happy to answer your questions and talk about what you need.
Definitely.
Well, that about wraps up our deep dive on penalties for underfunded FDI enterprises in Vietnam. It's definitely complicated, but hopefully we've made it a bit easier to understand.
We hope so.
Investing in Vietnam can be really rewarding. It's a dynamic market with a lot of potential, but being prepared is key. Do your research, get expert help when you need it. By understanding the rules, having a solid plan, and working with experienced professionals, you can minimize risk and really increase your chances of success in this exciting market. Thanks for listening, everyone. We look forward to having you back for our next deep dive into the legal and investment landscape of Vietnam.
See you then. TTF.